chapter 2. Don has been going through the churches of the Revelation, and we see that Christ says some good things about him. He says some bad things about him. But yet, he also calls for some of those churches to repent. And what we need to begin to understand, and I'm sure that we do, but I want to emphasize that tonight, is what this unity of the body of believers is all about. In Israel, God looked at Israel as one man, as one entity. Wasn't, even though there were 12 tribes in there, their center and their focus of unity was God Jehovah himself. And so if everyone is focused on Jehovah and everyone's focused on his law and what it says and they carry it out and do it, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be one force. And at times they did that. They functioned as one man and they defeated the enemies that were around them. They built a wall during Nehemiah's time. People had a mind to work. They came together as one man, and they built a wall. Even in the face of opposition, there is power in unity. And we need to understand that same thing. God looks at the church, or the body of believers. Now, Israel and the church are not the same. But the concept of unity is. We have a body of believers meeting here in Towanda, Independent Baptist Church, and it is being fortified by God. I want you to look at this in 1 Peter. I used this as a vision challenge a little while ago. Therefore, putting aside verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, putting aside, since you've been born again by a living, abiding word, therefore, put aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, and envy, and slander. Now, before we go too far, are those things that build unity, or are those things that destroy unity? They destroy unity. They destroy relationships. Those things right there. No wonder he tells us to put them aside, because God is big on relationships. Whether it's unity between a body of believers, or it's the unity between a husband and his wife, or the unity between people in any relationship, this is an important thing. These things destroy that. You want to destroy your friendship? Be full of malice, be full of deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. We can throw in jealousy. We could throw selfish ambition in there. They destroy relationships. Relationships we were designed for, and they were designed to stick. But what people have done with the concept of relationships, particularly the world, has taken these things, and the relationships don't work, because they're full of envy, jealousy, malice, greed, selfish ambition. I do need you to pray for me tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm talking to young people at the high school who are coming out of dysfunctional families that don't function well, and they want them to graduate, and they're in summer school to graduate. I'm a motivational speaker for those young people. These people, last year I did 1 Corinthians 13 on love. They had no idea what I was talking about. Because the families they come out of, there is no love. There's something they call love, but it's not what it is. And they were very fascinated by it. But tomorrow I get to speak to those young people, and my heart goes out to them. And just pray for me at that time. But here, he says, like newborn babes, verse 2, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Notice, newborn babies, it's the concept here isn't that you long for the weak things of the word. It's be like a baby who desires milk. You ever been around one that does? And they don't put up with too much. You know, get the food here, now, is generally. So it's speaking more of the desire for the pure word milk of the word, and that's that living and abiding word that we are born again by. Do we have a strong desire, like a baby has a desire to be fed milk? Do we have a desire to be fed in the Word of God? And the thing is, that desire to be fed by the Word of God is that which changes our life. I don't want to read the Bible too much because it's going to change my life. It's going to convict my soul. I kind of like the way I am. You don't want to think that way. Here he's telling us, you got to put aside the malice, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the envy, and the slander, and like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word. Why? If you're going to put aside this relationship destroying stuff, what do you have to replace it with? Relationship building stuff. And where are you going to get the relationship building stuff? You're getting it out of the Bible. Let no corrupt communication come from your mouth, but only that which is good for edification. That's out of Ephesians chapter 4. A lot of stuff in the Bible has to do with controlling your tongue, because we can be very divisive and destroy unity in the church by the way we use our tongue. So we need to desire this Bible, this word, because notice what it says. It says, so that you may by it grow in your respect to salvation. This is the living, abiding word of God when applied by the living Spirit of God in you. It caused you to grow because he is the God of life. As we have looked at ourselves and we evaluate ourselves as individuals, a part of a growing body of believers, are we growing when we read the Bible, when we have it preached to us, when we're taught it? Are we actually growing? Have we evaluated, is the living, abiding Word of God applied to our heart by the living Spirit of God changing us? Or have we sat in their teaching and our own personal devotions and we don't grow at all? We need to evaluate that stuff. Is there still the envy, the deceit, the malice, the jealousy, the selfish ambition? Is that still in our souls and in our heart? He's telling us put that stuff away and replace it with the living Word of God. Notice verse 3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Have you tasted the kindness of God? I trust you have. Not only at the cross of Calvary, I trust you've tasted the kindness of God with each other. I have been blessed by people in this church. Donnie will say that. Mike will say that. I'll tell you that. People bless us all the time. And that's tasting the kindness of God. Because as God works in the individual hearts of the individual people that make up the local body, guess what happens? Everybody's blessed. And that's how it's supposed to work. No need goes unmet when we're all desiring the pure milk of the Word of God, the living and abiding Word of God, because it's going to change us. And so he continues this thought, this growing thought, this developing thought, and he's moving it right into the church. He says, verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is a choice and precious in the sight of God. Coming to Jesus. You know, you look at the first few verses of chapter 2, and then all of a sudden they're talking about living stones. We're talking about growing in respect to salvation by the living, abiding Word of God. Now we're talking about living stones. There is a purpose for your spiritual growth. It's not an end in and of itself for you. It's to be used by God in the lives of others as this body of believers comes together. Well, he starts out with the keystone, and it's a living stone. And we talk about this. This is two different things. Stone is not living. It's kind of cold. It's kind of heavy. But he's using that contrast to say this dead thing has become alive in Christ. And now it's a living stone, and it's strong. And stones are used to build things with. And we can see out here, this building's built with stones, built with bricks, because it's a strong material. And this is what we're being built into. We're made a living stone. So we're not a cold stone. That's ice cream, which is very good. So I don't know. How did I get on that? I kind of lost my train of thought. But living stone is a live in Christ stone. But it can be used effectively for building a strong building. So that's why the writer comes together and uses the term living stone. Do you look at yourself as a living stone, or do you look at yourself as a stone? We have to be careful because we can be stones. And there are stones that are rejected by the builders. Now, the world builders, the builders we're talking about here, they rejected Christ. They didn't want anything to do with him. He was a living stone. But coming to him, coming to Christ as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Was Christ choice and precious in the sight of the Father? Yes, he was. And what was he? A living stone. Now notice what happens. Verse 5, and you also, here it is, what are we called in this passage? We are called living stones. Why are we called living stones? It's because we're born again by the living and abiding Word of God, and we're growing into respect of our salvation. We are becoming like Jesus Christ, the living stone. Now, as this, and notice what it says, and this is where we're getting to the unity aspect. He says, are built up, are being built up, present active verb, being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You want to look for a purpose in your life as a Christian? That's it. You should be excited, or we should be excited, that we are living stones and we're in the process of being built up in Jesus Christ. If that doesn't excite us, maybe we're a dead stone. It's exciting to be used by God for this purpose. Now let's see what this building looks like. We're being built up as a spiritual household, not a secular household. A spiritual household. That means we deal with spiritual things. And what spiritual things are found in the living, abiding Word of God. That is our unity point. Christ is the living Word. The written Word is the living, abiding Word. And the living Holy Spirit applies these things all together to make a spiritual house. Church, there are many churches that are empty today because all they are buildings. There was no spiritual activity in those. In fact, in the Revelation, what's Don been talking about? If you don't repent, I'll take your candlestick away. That's a scary thought. You'll no longer be a light to me in a dark world. But as we look at this, we're built for a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. What did the priesthood do? The priesthood, the priests at the time of the Old Testament, they were called from among men by God, and they ministered to people. But they had to offer sacrifices for themselves. Why? Because they were men. And so those priests were touched with the feelings of the infirmities of the people who came to them. They could deal gently with them. They knew how to deal with people. They knew how to deal with broken people. They knew how to deal with people because they themselves were touched with those same things. Now that reference is trumped by the fact that Jesus Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And we can go to him as a high priest when we need help. We need encouragement. We need those things which we need relief. So we are a living priesthood. God's building us up. It's a spiritual house for the purpose of ministering to one another. And we're ministering to one another the way Jesus Christ ministers to us. Do we have envy? Was Jesus full of envy when he deals with us? Is he filled with malice? Is he filled with jealousy? Is he filled with all these different things, anger? No. But yet, body of believers, sometimes we'll get mad at each other. We'll kind of say things we shouldn't say. And sometimes, you know, we don't even know it. But the purpose of God is building us up into the spiritual household so we can minister to one another. And we need to minister to one another because we need one another. Because we're in the process of being conformed to the ultimate living stone, Jesus Christ. But we're not there yet. We need to be, to maintain unity as this process of this house is being built by God. We need to be sensitive to the needs of other people. And sometimes we're not. We kind of cruise through life. We cruise through our church and not even think about the sensitivity of a person we just talked to. Because sometimes we don't ever know. But everybody's carrying a burden of some type. Everybody. And they're trying to deal with it. And we need to be sensitive like Jesus is sensitive to us. Like the high priest was sensitive to the worshiper in the Old Testament. We need to be sensitive. And sometimes we need to ask God, God, make me sensitive. Because I don't think I am. Because I know I have said things that hurt people. I know that. I get aggressive and all wound up. And the next thing you know, something comes out. I ball people out for not coming to business meetings. I ball them for not coming Wednesday night. And then nobody talks to me. But the point is, I have to learn to be sensitive. Because sometimes I get so overpowered with emotion and passion for what I'm doing, I sometimes walk over people. I can't do that. So here we're being built into this spiritual house. And we're being built by God. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And we're all being fitted together. And you know what God said about this? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is strong when it is functioning the way God has built it to function. I think of Wednesday night when we talk about corporate prayer. And I've kind of been on this. And Donnie and I have been kind of on it while we've been on this. There is power in corporate prayer. To come together as the body of believer and pray specifically for church things. One, are we treating each other right? Are we treating each other as we love them? As Christ has loved us? Are we forgiving people as Christ has forgiven us? Are we forbearing people as Christ has forbearing us? All of these things are in the living, abiding Word of God. What are we doing? Because we all have to ask ourselves this question. Because we are to be diligent, the Bible tells us, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And diligence to me means you've got to work at it. Because it doesn't come naturally. So as God's placing these rocks in together and these living rocks in together, they got to fit. And they got to fit perfectly. And they will fit perfectly as long as we are living according to the living stone, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we're living in the abiding, living, abiding Word of God. And we're not quenching the Spirit, the living Spirit of God. Where we're not grieving the living Spirit of God. So let's see. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. And what are we going to do? We're ministering to one another and we're offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. I talk to people, especially if they have a cross on, they say, what does that cross mean? It should mean, right comes to your mind, sacrificial love. That's what that should mean, because that's what it is. God sacrificed his son for unlovable people. We weren't lovable. We somehow forget that. We kind of think, oh man, I wasn't too bad. I'm kind of warm and fuzzy at times. No. When you're compared to the holiness of God, you are not lovable at all. And yet God sent his son, his only begotten son, to die on a cross to take away that sin. Oftentimes you will not understand grace unless you understand how far away we were. We weren't this close to God. We were going the opposite direction. Even us in our self-righteousness was getting away from God. We thought, I'm close to God. Man, I go to church every Sunday. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not any closer to God than the worst person in the world. Yet God loved us, and we're unlovable. We're unlovable. And yet he loves us. That should excite our soul. My word, my God loved me, and I was not lovable. So when he turns around and says, love your enemy, or how about this? They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. How about that one? Oh, my word, I better check out. I better really get that down. The living stones are designed to get together, to fit together, to make the solid wall that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And that should excite us. Because when you're beaten up by the world, and we get beat up by the world, and we see the way our country's going, and we don't like it, and it even makes us angry, there is a solace. There is a place of protection. There is a place of grace, and that's the temple of God, the spiritual house of God, built with living stones with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And we can come to our sanctuary here, and we can encourage one another. We can build one another up. We can really make a difference, because it's hard out there. And you guys know that. I don't have to tell you that. I will go into a classroom tomorrow with some kids that are broken by life and are only 17 years old. And I've got to say something that will encourage them. That's a great burden to do that. And that's why I ask you for my prayers. I can come to people and say, this is what I'm going to do, and I need you to do this. Because I don't even know what to say. Because I want to help those kids. And I'm limited to what I can say because it's in a school setting. But the guy I'm working with is a Christian, so some stuff might come out. Spill out a little bit. So we have this priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice. Our life as a Christian is a life of sacrifice. People do not like that. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Go. Sell all that you have. Take up your cross and follow me. It's always about somebody else. It's not about me. Are we willing to sacrifice for each of the living stones? Are they willing to sacrifice for each other? Or are they only, I'll sacrifice for this living stone, but this one over here better not come in my territory. I'm not sacrificing for them. We have that kind of attitude that all brush us that way. It can't be that way. The sacrifices that are made on the love of God are for those you come in contact with, whoever they may be. And within the body of Christ, it has to be each other. But it excites me to know that you can be part of something bigger than yourself. And then we tell that to people, you know, get involved in something bigger than yourself. But this is way bigger, because this is the eternal God who is building an eternal house made up of eternal stones, built by made by the eternal Word of God. That's an exciting thing. Want to leave a legacy for your children? It's your faith. I'm part of a living building of God because Jesus Christ made me a living stone. Notice about these sacrifices, they're acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know what that means? The spiritual sacrifices that I make in my life for the body of believers are through the love and the power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory, and we get all the blessing. And that we need to get a hold of that. We get all the blessing when we're sacrificing through the love of Jesus Christ, like he sacrificed for us. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. So to sum it all up, I think about a church is a building that's being built by God, made of living stones, made by the living, abiding Word of God. We're being built together, and we want to fit. And we can't have any envy. We can't have any jealousy. We can't have any anger or malice or any of that stuff. And Jesus Christ wipes them out, tells us to lay them aside, claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and those things will be gone, and those blocks will fit together like they're supposed to. And as they fit together as they're supposed to, everybody will be blessed. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. When we're feeling like we said the wrong thing or did the wrong, we've got to make it right. We've got to be sensitive to one another, because we can do things without thinking. We're people. We do dumb things sometimes. I want to be sensitive to the needs of the people around me, and I've got to watch what I say. Because I can be like a bull in a china shop. That's why your prayers for me help me in that area. My prayers for you do the same thing. Spiritual household. That's what Independent Baptist Church is. That's what churches and preachers of the gospel are. But we got to be careful. Like Donnie's talked about, we don't leave our first love. Don't leave our first love. Leaving our first love. My word, the love of God was poured out upon us through Jesus Christ when he died on the cross at Calvary for us. And the love of God is flooded out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us at the point of salvation. We don't want to trample under the foot that love. We want to magnify that love. And we get an opportunity to magnify that love with each other. This is the training ground for witnesses inside the church. They'll know you're Christians by your love for one another. And you carry that same love out into the world with the support of the same people who love you with that same love. And you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying person. I was sharing Christ with a lady yesterday. I was called to her. She's a Catholic, 90-some years old. She lived with her brother at the manor together. He passed away. And she was worried about him being in heaven because she went to Mass more than he did. And, you know, you pray, what do you say? You strip away all the other stuff. I said, you believe that Christ died for you. You know, they have their crucifix in the church. There he is, hanging across. What's he doing? He's dying for sin. Who's he dying for? Try to strip all other stuff away and tell him it's Jesus Christ that gets into heaven. That's the main thing. Did he have faith in Christ? She didn't know because he was basing his salvation on going to Mass. And because she went more than he did. That's a sad thing. Talking to this person, she's crying and she's worried about her brother and she realizes there's nothing she can do because he didn't go to Mass enough. No, I stay away from Catholic doctrine. You just focus on Jesus. Christ and him crucified. So anyway, think about this. Pray for one another. Be thrilled that we are being built into a living temple so we can offer spiritual, so we can be a holy priesthood who can minister to one another because we ourselves are beset with weaknesses. We are never in a position to be more righteous than somebody else. We can't be because we're humans. We need to follow the example of Jesus Christ and offer up spiritual sacrifices of praise unto God as we sacrifice for one another. And what's going to happen? There's going to be a unity and bond in this church that'll be above human preference, above human personalities. It's going to work because it's going to be all about Jesus Christ, the living stone whom we are patterned after. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace. I thank you for everyone here. I certainly pray, Lord, for all of us. Every single one of us, it needs to be more sensitive than we are. We kind of get off on stuff and up on soapboxes and stuff like that. We can't. We need to be sensitive. We need each other, and we need to be sensitive to each other, and we need to pray for one another, encourage one another, lift each other up for the throne of grace. Just those things. There's so much that can be done in the relationship of building unity, which you prayed for and which you demand from your children. Give us the power. Give us the eyes to see clearly our own selves and how we can better serve you and serve one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.